Back in 2003, I studied abroad for a semester. I got to travel around Europe a bit, and honestly, don't remember much from that time. Overnight trains, some questionable hostels, an alarming amount of bread and cheese. But one place I'll never forget is the Basilica de la Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, Spain. It was designed by Antoni Gaudí, one of the great architectural geniuses of the modern world, and it's really just absolutely breathtaking. The towers stretch endlessly upward. The columns look more like trees than pillars, and colored light pours through stained glass, filling the whole space with a sense of holiness and wonder. But to me, the most fascinating thing about the Basilica is this: after more than 140 years, it is still unfinished. Now think about that. In the not-so-distant future, we're going to break ground on a new building. Tim Hendricks assures me we're looking at about 16 months. But if we were operating on the Sagrada Familia timeline, we'd all be gathering sometime around the year 2166, saying, well, this thing really seems to be coming along, you know? And honestly, that unfinished cathedral, it's not a bad metaphor for human beings. Because we are always building something. We build careers, reputations, families, lives, identities, different versions of ourselves for different seasons. And after a while, constantly trying to build and maintain those versions of ourselves can become exhausting. Modern life increasingly feels like one long construction project of the self, trying to become successful enough, respected enough, secure enough, competent enough, hoping that if we can finally build the right version of ourselves, we might finally be able to relax a bit and rest. And underneath all that construction is the same human longing to become someone solid enough, valuable enough, secure enough. And that is what makes today's gospel so profound, because Jesus asks his disciples a question that is far more personal and unsettling than it first appears. Who do you say that I am? And so here's what I want us to notice. Jesus does not begin by asking his disciples who they are becoming. He doesn't ask them, what kind of person do you want to be? In other words, before Jesus tells Peter who Peter is, Jesus first asks Peter who Jesus is. Now, Caesarea Philippi was not a neutral setting for that conversation. In fact, it was a place saturated with competing claims about power and identity. There were temples everywhere devoted to Pan, the god associated with chaos and fear. And the city was very much shaped by Roman imperial imagery honoring Caesar. And so if one were to walk about Caesarea Philippi in the year 30 AD, everywhere you looked, there were voices that whispered, Caesar is Lord, Rome saves, power secures meaning, the empire gives peace. And honestly, I don't think that is all that different from our world. We may not build statues to Pan, but we are surrounded by rival gospels, messages. Success saves, achievement saves, admiration saves, productivity saves, control saves, money saves, being respected saves, being needed saves. And if we're honest, those aren't just messages coming from the culture around us, they are promises that we are very much tempted to put our faith in and believe, promises that I am very tempted to believe. If I can only accomplish enough, if people respect me enough, if I can keep everything under control, then maybe finally I'll get there. I can relax and know exactly who I am. And it's right there in the middle of all those competing promises that Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, before we let Peter answer that question for us, sit with that question for just a moment. Who do you say that Jesus is? A life coach? A therapist? A self-help guru? A moral teacher? A political ally? A social reformer? Who do you say that Jesus is? If you've read Lord of the Rings, you know that for a while, Aragorn is simply Strider, this mysterious ranger traveling alongside the hobbits, and then comes the revelation. This is the king. And once you know who he is, you see everything differently. And friends, that's really the question Jesus puts before his disciples. Do you understand who it is that you have been walking with? And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And for one brief moment, Peter sees clearly, not perfectly, not completely, but clearly Peter knows that he is in the presence of the king. And only then, after Peter begins to see who Jesus truly is, does Jesus tell Peter who Peter truly is. You are Peter. Because Peter cannot finally know himself fully until he knows Jesus, and neither can we. And so, friends, I want you to hear this clearly. The deepest truth about us is not something we will discover by looking harder and harder and harder inside ourselves. It is something we receive as a gift in relationship to Christ in Christian community. But it is Christ who gives us our name, the one who sees us and knows us and loves us completely. Back in 2018, when Emily and I were getting ready to sell our house in Houston before we moved here to Austin, our realtor came over one afternoon and gently explained that our house was not yet ready for show. I'd never heard that phrase before, so I asked what she meant, and basically, or at least this is what I heard, we needed to create the illusion that no actual human beings had ever lived in our house. So we did. We painted over cracks. We hid the clutter. We shoved half our belongings into drawers and closets. Candles were burning. Cookies were out on the counter, and every morning before I left for work, I would walk through the house doing one final sweep, straightening pillows, turning on lamps, adjusting things just enough to make sure the whole house looked calm and beautiful and effortless. And I still remember thinking, this is absolutely crazy. We don't live like this. Nobody lives like this. But then it dawned on me, the goal was not to show our house. The goal was to hide our house. And friends, it is a great strategy. I highly recommend it when you are trying to sell a house. The trouble begins when the house isn't the only thing that we are trying to sell. Because a lot of us spend our lives trying to convince the world and eventually ourselves that we are worth buying. We wake up, get dressed, clean ourselves up, and slowly begin thinking that yet again today, I must live my life ready for show. We learn very early which parts of ourselves seem acceptable and which parts should stay hidden. And so we manage the image, we project confidence while privately terrified, we project composure while quietly lonely, we project capability while we are secretly exhausted, and over time we just become these experts at presentation. Which means that the real danger, it is not hypocrisy. The real danger is that we will spend so much energy maintaining the image we construct that we slowly lose touch with who we are underneath it all. And that is why the grace of God in today's gospel is so healing, because Jesus sees beyond the image when he looks at Simon Peter. He doesn't see a polished version. There's no ready-for-show version. Jesus sees the Peter who in only a few verses will rebuke him, the Peter who will fall asleep when Jesus asks him to stay awake, the Peter who will pull out a sword and cut off another human being's ear, the Peter who will swear never to abandon Jesus and then deny three times that he even knows the man. Jesus sees all of that. Jesus knows Peter completely, and Jesus loves Peter completely. And from that place of deep knowing both who Peter is and who God's grace is slowly forming him to become, Jesus says, "You are Peter." Simon is his old name. Jesus gives him a new name. You are Peter. And Peter means rock, which is almost funny because, you know, Peter, he is the least rock-like person imaginable. He's impulsive, unsteady, he's frightened. And yet Jesus looks at Simon and says, you are rock. And so don't miss the deep grace of what this means. Jesus names Peter before Peter becomes Peter, before maturity, before courage, before steadiness, before sanctification is complete. His identity is not self-created, it is bestowed. And this is where the gospel collides head-on with modern life, because modern life says, construct yourself, curate yourself, reinvent yourself. But Jesus says, follow me. And then Jesus says something even more wonderful. On this rock, I will build my church. Notice the subject of that sentence. Not Peter, not the disciples, not human effort. I will build my church. Christ is the architect, Christ is the builder. It makes me think of Pinocchio. The whole story is about this wooden puppet longing to become a real boy, to become fully alive so that he's capable of being loved. And what I love about that image is that the gospel takes the story and just reverses the order. We imagine that first we have to become real, whole, good, finally put together, and then we can be loved. But grace says the opposite. Christ does not wait for us to become real before he loves us. It is being loved by Christ that begins to make us real, which means the deepest hope of the Christian life is not our ability to perfect ourselves. It is Christ's faithfulness to continue and complete what he has begun, because Christ is the builder. Because as we all know, but I'm sure hate to admit, the identities we spend our lives constructing begin to weaken. Careers end. Bodies age, roles change, recognition fades. Children grow up, and eventually life begins asking a deeper question: who am I? When these things begin to dissolve and I can no longer maintain the image. And the Christian answer is not that you are what you achieved or you are what people think of you. It's not you are what you managed to build. The Christian answer is so simple. You belong to Christ, and Christ is faithful. Faithful when we're strong, faithful when we're tired, faithful when we're confident, faithful when we are falling apart. To go back to the Sagrada Familia, one of the things Gaudi became famous for was this mosaic technique where he'd take these broken fragments, tile, glass, pottery, and then arrange them into intricate patterns. So jagged pieces, different textures, different colors, fragments that might seem useless on their own, are gathered together and transformed into something beautiful and whole. And somehow, in the hands of this great artist, they become part of one cathedral. And maybe that is ultimately the meaning of grace, trusting that Christ sees a wholeness that we cannot yet see. Because most of us experience our lives in fragments, faith mixed with fear, love mixed with failure, joy and gratitude mixed with grief. We see all the unfinished pieces, but Christ sees the whole cathedral. And clearly the cathedral is unfinished. There is still fear. There's still pride, still injustice, still scaffolding, still dust in the air, still so many places inside of us that have not yet been healed. And so what do we do with that? We follow Jesus. We trust grace. We listen and respond to the Spirit as best we can. And most importantly, in community, we relax and we let ourselves be built. After more than 140 years, the Sagrada Familia is still unfinished. There have been funding problems, delays, interruptions, redesigns, entire seasons when construction stopped altogether. This beautiful cathedral did not emerge in one clean, uninterrupted line. And neither do we. We take detours, construction stops, we build things that won't last and cannot save us, and still Christ keeps building. Because the gospel is not that Jesus finally loves finished people. The gospel is that Jesus names us and refuses to abandon what grace has begun. Amen.